Listen, turn with me to Daniel chapter 13. Daniel chapter 13. And can I have, can you turn off these bank of lights and leave that one? Can you still see me okay? I will shine. Amen? This is a modern version of a candle. I will shine. No matter how dim the lights are next to me, I'm going to shine. Okay? That's the motto for 2015. Living as lights in a morally dark world. Living as lights. We'll get to Daniel. You want to get to Daniel chapter 12. We'll be there in a few minutes. You know, as I was driving my car on New Year's Day,
It was what we call dusk, right? It starts to get a little bit dark. And I noticed that the Christmas lights, especially the white ones, were a dull yellow. You ever notice that? You're like, wow, I mean, those are kind of dull-looking lights. They got a yellow tint to them and all that other stuff. And you know, they lack luster. And they're devoid of any intensity of brightness that will soon be there as the night approached. I said to myself, you know, these lights that look like this now, in an hour from now, man, they're going to be shining bright because of the contrast between the light and the darkness. These same lights that really they held no particular interest to me, within a matter of an hour would sparkle and shine and attract me to them. And I'd admire it and say, wow, look at those lights. Look how beautiful they are. Look how clear they are and beautiful. And that is all enhanced by the encroaching darkness. You can sort of get where I'm going with this, right? And I remember thinking this week, you know, there's a spiritual lesson in this somewhere. Because I've been looking at the darkness. You've noticed it probably in some of my sermons with Jeremiah and all. I mean, the darkness is encroaching. But what is interesting to me that I was considering all week and the week before to using these scriptures in Daniel, and I thought, well, that's just more darkness. You know, can't you say anything of any Bob? You know, I'm just totally disgusted with myself because all I'm seeing is darkness, and you can't feed people week for week on darkness and tell them how bad everything is. You've got to encourage them. And I was looking at Daniel 12 and I thought, well, this is how I need to start the sermon. This is the essence of it. Because as the darkness gets darker, the light's going to get brighter. And that's you and I. Turn to with me, if you're not already there, to Daniel 12. And you'll notice that the subtitle is called The End Times. You say, oh me, he's not going to preach about the end times, is he? I'm going to read through this and I'm going to point out a few scriptures, and then I'm going to just elaborate on them a little bit. But listen, what you're not going to hear from me, and I don't want to disappoint you, I'm not going to try to figure out the times when Jesus Christ is coming back from this. Okay, so don't let your mind go there. Do that in your own time. And I'm not going to try to figure out who is the one who causes the abomination of desolation. Okay? That's some mental exercise you can do yourself. A plethora of books are written about, okay? You want to confuse your mind, you just keep reading, okay, about that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to do those for you. But what I want you to see as we look at this passage of Scripture, the contrast between the wicked and the wise. Okay? Let's go. Starting at verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Talking about the end, the very end of times. There will be a time of distress. such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, us, God's people, and everyone whose name is found written in the book, that takes us to the New Testament immediately. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We'll be delivered. We got the victory. We will be delivered. We have battles, but we will be delivered. He's telling Daniel, God's telling Daniel to write this down a long time ago, even before Christ showed up on the scene, okay? But you will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Speaking of the resurrection, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now notice, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Just a sidebar. Why do you think the world's changing so quickly? Because of the advent of the internet and new ways of communication. I mean, some bad habit happens in America and they put it all over the world. Immediately we know what's going on. And they dig up every bit of just negative stuff they can possibly find, right? I turn on my internet every day, read the homepage, scroll through everything. I mean, they are jamming things down our throat day after day after day. That's morally irresponsible and reprehensible. There's some good stuff happening, I'll give you that. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge, as if knowledge is the pinnacle of what it means to be human. The more I know, the more I'm actualizing my potential. It's all about knowledge is power. Listen, that's what he told Daniel. He said, "Then I, about the end times. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, 'How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?'" Now, train your mind. We're not going to go there, all right? Okay? "The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, 'It will be for a time, times, and a half a time.'" And I mean, we spill much ink trying to figure that out. It's going to be a while, and maybe a long while, for a time, times, and a half a time, okay? We can do this sometime, end times thing, but not today. "When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, 'My Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be? What will be the outcome of all you're telling me? Because I really don't understand all this. But what's the outcome? What can I take home with me?' He replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end.'" But listen what verse 10 says. "Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." In other words, in verse 3, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. They'll increase their knowledge, but they will not increase their understanding as far as the things of God go. They'll be devoid of it because they've chosen to not bring their lives under the rulership of Christ. "From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation," oh my, is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. And then he says, sort of pastorally, as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Did you see the contrast between the wicked and the wise? It says in the end times in Daniel 10, many will be purified, made spotless and refined. You know, and all these verbs point ahead to a time when Christ will be the originator of all these, right? That's what he does to us. That we're his bride. And he makes us spotless, purified, and refined. And we also have a part in that, right? We've talked about that. That's part of the have our lamps lit and ready, waiting his return. They wash their robes. They've been refined. We go through battles, right? That refine us. That make us more like Christ. Vicious battles sometimes. Amen? But we have the victory. That's the point. We don't go into battle that we're not going to win this thing. We go into battle with the assurance that with God, all things are possible. Remember last year? That was our motto last year. We go into battle knowing that we have the victory. We just have to show up and engage the enemy. Amen. Because we have the victory. I love what he says in Daniel 12:3. He says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And I love this because I have an evangelistic heart. And those who lead many to righteousness. What do you think that light was meant to do? The light of Christ in us. To lead many to righteousness. Because the light of Christ, who was the light of the world, is now, we are the light of the world. And that is made possible because he lives in us. And it dispels the darkness. Through the Word of God, through our actions, through our praise, through the fact that he still has a people on the face of the earth that he cares so much for, that he died for, and he takes care of them. And that's why I said, is there joy in your life? You remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? And it's for me, it's an example of two different types of people growing together until the end time. Remember the parable of the wheat and tares? A lot of you know that. It's found in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. But to paraphrase it, in the parable, the enemy came and sowed his tares precisely where the owner sowed his seeds of the wheat. Remember? Look at that's what Daniel's saying. In this world, the enemy has sowed the wicked, but the righteous are right there with them. Right there. And remember he said, every attempt to uproot the tares in that parable in order to save the wheat should be forbidden. He said, just let them grow together. Just now the Lord said to me, if you pull the weeds out among the tare, then how's the light going to shine? We have to stay engaged in the field, the world. Not in the sinful world, but we're growing together. That's what Daniel said. In the end times, the wicked will continue to be wicked, although he said that those who are wise will lead many to righteousness. You know, we can look at this as an optimist or a pessimist. God forgive me that I am a pessimist at times. They're both allowed to grow until harvest. And at times it probably looked to this farmer in this parable that the tares had overgrown and obscured the wheat. Probably went out and said, you know, I got to yank these things out. It's going to choke the life out of the wheat. And then you think that the tares, you know, I'm a gardener, man. The weeds grow without asking them, right? I mean, they're native to the soil, you know? They're more vigorous. They just, wind blows them in and they, you know. But really, in this harvest, it doesn't say that the wheat was spoiled in that parable. James Denny comments on this. He's a commentator. You don't have to know. Sometimes I look these guys up, sometimes I don't. But what he had to say was great. The question is sometimes asked whether the world gets better or worse as it grows older. Okay? And the optimists and pessimists take opposite sides. He says both are wrong. It does not get better only, nor worse only, but both. As the world gets darker, we grow lighter. We shine even brighter. Its progress is not simply a progress in good, where evil being gradually driven from the field, speaking of that parable, nor is it a progress in evil before which the good continually disappears. It's a progress in which good and evil come to maturity. That's what he's saying in Daniel. Good and evil come to maturity. The evil get worse, and the wise get brighter. Bearing the ripest fruit and the utmost against each other, showing all that they can do, proving their strength to the utmost against each other. The progress is not in good itself or in evil itself, but in the antagonism of the one of the other. It's in the battle. Right? It's a battle. As the moral darkness of evil in people intensifies, we grow brighter. What did Jesus say we are? He said we're the light of the world. Amen? I don't know if I need to read that again to you, but you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Hide it in their own house, lest they go out. Agoraphobia. Maybe we got evangelistic phobia. I don't know. But they don't keep it and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Before men. Not your wife. Not just your kids, although fundamentally important. If we lose our kids, that's a big problem. I know they have their own free will, but we need to let our light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Good deeds can't be done in secret, right? And praise your Father in heaven. Shining stars, that's what Daniel says we're like. Like the light of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness, to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be made right with God, those who do that, that make that their everyday, somewhere in their psyche, say, you know, this is what... this is what Christ wants to do. He wants to live his life through me. And his main goal coming to earth was to seek and save the lost. Many lead many to righteousness are like the stars forever and ever. I love Philippians, where Paul speaks about this shining. Listen to what he says. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. You know, God is in you to will and to act his good purposes for the world in salvation context. Well, in many contexts, but primarily in salvation context, so that people will come to know him. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be pure, you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Paul, why'd you steal Daniel's stuff? This whole idea, we will shine. I guess today, the world's getting morally dark. And it appears that those who have set their heart towards evil have taken, it's taken a set. They call evil good. No question about it. And not only that, but they encourage others to partake in it. Romans 1, 2, even chapter 3. Good bedtime reading. No, not really. You don't want to read that before you go to bed. But and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now I'm lying here at the pulpit because I got you 20 minutes. But God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, folks. That God is reconciling the world through His Son who lives in us. And we're begging people, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Look at the cross. You can see how much love He has for us. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures from 2 Corinthians and then try to wrap this up. I talked way too much at the beginning, but look at here's what it says. 2 Corinthians 5. Listen, this is us. Put you in here, okay? Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced. Amen? We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. See, we regard them from a worldly point of view. Miserable, they're, you know, no good for nothing. You know, just let them go to hell. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and did what? And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You just got a pay raise. Got a new status. You are ambassadors from a land, from a world that's not here. Because we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. And we're sent into this world as ambassadors. With His message. Ambassadors don't preach anybody else's message. They take what the king of that province or whatever is, and they represent Him. And we're representing Him by saying, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. It's pretty encapsulated, is it not? But you know what? It's not a dull, black and white type thing. Because He put flesh and blood on it. He did it with His Son, and now He's doing it through us. How can we figure out how to love people more? It's probably going to take us some thought, right? How have we lost our way? What was common 100 years ago, no longer. I mean, there's been a lot of hate and stuff in the world. I need to qualify that, but just neighborly. Just actually care about. I'm more concerned that my neighbor's made his house a warehouse than going over and talking to him. God help us all, right? Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, the pessimist gives up. The optimist says, yeah, it's going to get darker, but we're going to take as many people with us and that light's just going to get brighter and brighter. Let's stand and finish.